In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I have a fascinating chat with Charlie Hamer, the co-founder of the Public Sector Network. Charlie tells us about his background in computer science, environment and events, and how he ended up starting the Public Sector Network community platform. He has a passion for technology and the environment and for facilitating connections, so he tells us why he started PSN, and also the reasons why they have expanded from Australia to the US, Canada, New Zealand, and soon the UK. Charlie tells us what sparked his interest in the smart community space, and we discuss the term smart city and intelligent community, as well as how the movement has been maturing over the last few years. We cover how Charlie sees Australia embracing smart concepts and what he's seen in Canada as a result of the Smart City Challenge that was run by the Canadian government. We discuss how to balance funding and marketing with real substance of smart community projects and the importance and power of sharing stories and giving a voice to smaller regional projects. We finish our chat discussing the emerging trends of privacy, data security, and the waning trust in government, which is even more relevant now than when we recorded this episode a few months ago. Charlie's episode was the last of my bank of interviews recorded before the pandemic really began impacting the world. So in the next few weeks, we will be sharing a mix of quote unquote normal episodes where I ask guests all the usual questions and also the audios from some of the previous guests' COVID-19 updates, which I've been sharing on YouTube. So you can actually head over to YouTube and check those out. I've been speaking with a whole bunch of previous guests and friends of the podcast, including Ryan McManus, Debbie Reynolds, Sally Illingworth, Jonathan Reichenthal, Rachel Smith, and lots more. And we will be putting more and more of those up there. So head over to our YouTube channel. It's under My Smart Community. And of course, like Charlie and I actually discussed in this episode, if you have a real story to share about a smart community project that is making a real difference, particularly if it's in a smaller regional area or a rural town, I really, really, really love to hear from you anywhere in the world. So get in touch at hello@mysmart.community. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the Smart Community. Smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Charlie. How are you today?
I am very good, Zoe. And yourself?
I am fabulous. I'm so excited that we finally, you know, scheduled our calendars to have this conversation.
Indeed, indeed. Long time coming. So thank you very much for the invitation.
No worries. Let's jump straight in. And can you tell us about your background and what you are passionate about?
Most certainly. So I started actually as a computer scientist way back when I was straight out of university. Did a little bit of work in that space before switching my allegiances slightly to study environmental policy and technology, not a million miles away from what you studied, actually, and looking at where various different ways technology can be applied to solve environmental challenges. That was kind of my initial passions. And so I guess the probably question might be, how did I end up starting a public sector community platform, which is probably a bit odd. I think we all end up in some sort of strange areas at some point. But passions, I guess, kind of always been around technology and environment. And when I first came to Australia almost 10 years ago, kind of got recruited to a conference and events company that's my first sort of foray into that space, that from a focus primarily on those two particular areas around tech and environment construction style events. So kind of just fell into it really. And then since then, just over 5 years ago, I co-founded Public Sector Network with a chap from the UK called Ross Ashman. And we started life in Australia, but then soon moved to New Zealand, Canada, the US, and hope to be the UK as soon as we see what happens with the election in 2021. But and PSN kind of started its life as a government community platform to enable government to connect, share ideas, benchmark, and learn, and so forth. So that's kind of where we've sort of started. And as you know as well as I do, look, so much good work gets done in government, but often in silos. So we thought we created PSN. How can we create an organization that can enable these people to connect, avoid the sort of duplication of work, share ideas, collaborate, and ultimately sort of deliver better outcomes? So I guess back to the original question, what am I passionate about? I think it's about how do I, as a, us as an organization, enable people to sort of connect various different ways to collaborate, share ideas, solve problems, and do that across sort of the various different countries I mentioned. But yeah, kind of act as that facilitator. I get really passionate about when we were able to connect different people who didn't perhaps know each other, that enable them to maybe go on to, you know, to network and share, maybe solve a certain problem.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the public sector network? I'm keen to understand, like, when you started this network, you know, it's a pretty big undertaking. What was the kind of gap you were that you saw, and then you're like, okay, cool, I can help fill that?
Yeah, so I think one of the first and foremost, I think from what I mentioned, Ross and my background came from the sort of commercial events industry, and to be not brutal, but I think I'll probably have to be, they often deliver very, very expensive events and engagement opportunities for people to go and attend, and really, really undeliver. It's kind of a bit of a pirate lifestyle, and they basically extort lots of money from the industry, don't deliver much value, move on, and then hope everyone has a good day kind of thing. And we saw there was an opportunity to perhaps build a community around what government do. You know, government is a non-compete industry, so to speak. They're there to kind of share ideas and collaborate. And we didn't see why there was a reason why government should be charged thousands of dollars to kind of go and listen to their colleagues speak. And we knew there was a much more affordable and way to do this, and kind of decided to kind of do this digitally and by building our platform initially. But then really our background is in events and conferences and training. So how can we bring people together in a free to attend environment and create these opportunities for people to collaborate? And that's kind of what we saw as a whole. And we really felt that we could service that particular community. And government's an area that, you know, I've had some experience with in the past, working in and around, and something we're very passionate about doing. And PSN, when we were just about to finish actually our application becoming a B Corp, but we see ourselves as a very, very passionate about having a purpose as a business and actually trying to affect change in a good way. We're able to attract, I think, good people to come work with us because we've got this vision of what we want to look to achieve. And we see ourselves as being kind of that community platform for government to be able to do that. And it's, you know, something that we were growing, and the sort of the reason I touched on the US, Canada, New Zealand, and soon to be the UK, those forms of government are quite similar in lots of ways. But and so the challenges faced in these various different jurisdictions are very similar. So how can we connect these different people globally to share the ideas, to avoid people duplicating the same stuff over and over again? As we know all too well, as I mentioned briefly, people work in silos within government, and how can we break down those silos to do? And I think, you know, I think we've made a little bit of a dent since we've started, and we're, you know, excited to continue to do so.
Awesome. And we kind of touched on this a little bit, but let's go into it. What sparked your interest in the smart cities, smart community space?
Yeah, I think when we sort of first really started, I think one of the first ever events I put together like 10 years ago, and a good friend of both of us, actually, Matty Schultz, was one of the people that I saw him last week, funny enough, but he was at the time, is a precursor to ASC, I think it was the National Broadband Alliance, correct me if I'm wrong. I think him and Michael Ware started that, and we, at the time at my old organization, pulled together a conference looking at sort of future connectivity in Australia, future, you know, sort of broadband connectivity, and Matt randomly was a speaker at that, and we kind of just got talking at the event, and kind of that kind of was my probably initial interest in sort of understanding a little bit about what sort of smart city, smart community. It was obviously a very, very new area at the time. And then more recently, when I think about 4 or 5 years ago, when we first started PSN, we developed an event focused on future infrastructure. And the reason I sort of bring that to attention is it looked at healthcare, future higher education, transport, and cities, but from an infrastructure perspective. And all of these had an element of smart to them. So looking at how technologies can deliver better services and infrastructure to patients, students, communities, and citizens. And that's kind of then morphed from that. We saw the smart cities as being probably one of the more popular elements to that particular event. And it was some of the stuff that people were keen to get more from our event. So we were then partnered up with KPMG about 3 or 4 years ago. We do a fair amount of work with KPMG, and their role in the whole process, they add value from sort of facilitating a number of our events and host us within their office space. We develop a lot of the reports with them, but they had a big interest, as you probably know, a chap called Paul Francis, who's now at Telstra, and Piers were keen to kind of see if we could pull together a roadshow series across the country focusing on smart cities. And yeah, so we've done that for 3 years. I think you obviously were kind enough to support that recently in the smart mobility element and ARIP as well. And since then, we've launched that series across New Zealand and across Canada, soon to be hopefully in the US, and we'll see about the UK. But yeah, that's kind of where it originally sort of jumped from. And yeah, I love it. And if PSN ever disappears, I think it's an area that I would love to pursue a career in. It's my biggest passion, I think, from our side of the business.
That's awesome to hear. And yeah, I really enjoyed those smart mobility series that you put on. I think it was a really kind of deep and rich conversation, which I think when you were talking before about, you know, events, anyone can put on an event, but it's a rare skill to put something on that you walk away from that you actually feel like you got something out of. And not even that, just actually could change your thinking. And it was inspiring and insightful without, but also having that deep knowledge and understanding. And I think there's definitely an art and a skill to that. So yeah, thanks for doing what you do.
No, thank you.
Okay, what is a smart city or a smart community to you?
That's a very good question. That's one of the questions I think we first posed on the first ever event we ran. I think we ran a session around that because you read so much different literature, don't you? And everyone's kind of got their own take on it. Most people look at it and think it's purely tech. People just don't quite know. is it around data? I mean, so I think for me, I think it's a city that's, and I think the community element is something I think a word being used more and more, especially across, I've seen across Canada, and I think rightly so. But for me, it's a city that's livable, sustainable, inclusive, innovative. I've added a couple in about commutable and I think affordable. I think all these different terms, I think within a city, I think add to what is a smart community, because I think, as I mentioned, everyone gets kind of drawn to the technology element. And as we all know, when you talk to anyone within the space, everyone knows that technology is the final piece of the puzzle. But really, the people elements are central and core to what is a smart community. I think that often can get overlooked, especially from, you know, the early smart city days. And I think a lot of the movement, I guess, got burnt a little bit by overinvestment in technology at the front end of this of the movement. And I think people are now sort of just getting over that and realizing, okay, it's not really about that. We don't have to go buy really expensive lots of technology to kind of create a smart community. There's lots of other parts to it. And I'm not sure what your thoughts on that particularly are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think even in the last, I guess, 3 years in this space, the level of maturity of the conversations and that they are shifting and changing, and that I do feel like even the term smart city, and which is why I use smart community, is, I don't know about fading, but it's definitely kind of particular connotation, which isn't necessarily exactly what it is.
Mm. What do you think about the term intelligent city? Is that something you've kind of seen bandied around? I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Intelligent community is one of the terms, and there's, you know,
community, sorry.
Yeah. And I think I do like that, but I'm not changing my name again.
No. Yeah, same.
But also there's like, the intelligent community forum is Robert Bell, who's the CEO there. He's awesome. And I met him at a conference in Adelaide recently. And yes, he definitely tried to convince me to switch over. But I think for me, the term community is really important. And then like what we put on the front of that, I get that words, you know, mean something. But for me, I'm sticking with smart, but I do really like intelligent as well. I also feel like it's really, you know, the concepts that we're talking about, the deep stuff underneath that, and at least people know the term smart city, smart community even, and so it kind of draws them in a little bit. But I was just this week talking about, you know, design thinking and agile and lean, and how those terms have also this kind of, I don't know, wanky connotation, I guess, but when they're actually used and like, and you have brilliant people that know how to use them properly and actually follow through, it's, you know, it is amazing. So I kind of am like, well, if we can find the substance, I guess substance is the word, yes, the substance underneath it, whatever we call it, I'm not too fussed on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree entirely.
Okay. I think we've talked about why this is important. So let's talk about Australia. And how do you think Australia is currently embracing, you know, this smart community concept?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting evolution I've seen over the past three event series that we've run. I think there's, like you mentioned, there's a definite improvement, maturity in the way that people understand understand the topic and kind of moving a little bit past the initial sort of scoping and business case. I mean, there's some great work, as you know, as well as I did, being done across Australia and there's great pockets across New Zealand. I think sometimes I felt a little bit that some of the, not the interest is from me, from the, some of the senior management across some of the cities and councils might be plateauing or waning a little bit. I'm not sure if that needs a bit more impetus, a bit more push to move things again and get to move the needle, so to speak. But what I've seen also in Canada, I suppose I can share some lessons what I've seen across there, because I think the federal government there, which I'm sure you're probably across with the Smart Cities Challenge, really chucked a lot of money at this. And I think it really drove some serious interest across the country with regards to investments across different projects. And what I did see, we did see there as well, was, I'm not sure if you, which I'm sure you probably have seen some of the winners. And this goes back to the point, what does smart actually mean to me? And I thought some of the winners were some of the things you probably wouldn't associate with being a smart city project. For instance, the, you know, town of Bridgewater, we had them speak actually at the event, which they got 5 million to reduce energy poverty, for example. And the Nunavut communities, one of the indigenous communities, got, you know, 10 million for life promotion to avoid suicide prevention, which is something you often don't associate with a smart community. You know, Guelph, something around the circular food economy in Montreal, the more traditional smart cities project, which was around mobility and I think access to food, I believe, as well. What I'm trying to get at is it's stuff that you wouldn't normally think about when you think about smart. I'm sure you do, because you're more ingrained in it perhaps than myself would be. But I think those are some of the projects I'd love to see a bit more of here. But I think it comes back to, which is probably one of the next questions, is around funding. It's no endless pot, right? And how do we do stuff that doesn't cost the earth? I mean, how about yourself? I mean, you probably see and talk to much more people than I do these days. I mean, what's your thoughts on, I guess, how things are being embraced across Australia?
I think, yeah, like you said, there's pockets of, you know, amazing stuff happening, but how do we link all that together? And then, you know, the people that do get airtime as well, I feel like maybe it's not necessarily, there's some great projects that get airtime, but then there's also just ones that, you know how to market. And that's not a diss against them. It's actually that the smaller councils or you know, the projects that we might not think of as flash and shiny actually need that skill set of marketing themselves in this space. Because unfortunately or fortunately or whatever, that is the game, you know. And if we can have, you know, substance under that, then I want to hear about it. And I think with particularly, I love hearing the stories from Canada. Because I think, yeah, it has to be health. It has to be, you know, Indigenous communities. It has to be this, the people that need, you know, this smart thing the most or the community thing the most, actually. It's not, but then how do we bring the smartness, I guess, which is the enabling technology or enabling new ways of thinking and working. And so, yeah, I think that's definitely smart. I think maybe in Australia, we have focused a lot on infrastructure, you know, physical, or, you know, not just physical, but, well, making our physical infrastructure smarter, but then also digital infrastructure or like planning or, you know, urban things. So I think when we branch out into this more health and well-being and people issues and earth problems, like our, and circular economy and those things, that's when we can find the real substance. So, and you know, something I am very focused on the podcast is getting people from different backgrounds. And, you know, when I reach out to people and people reach out to me as well, when I reach out to people and I'm like, oh, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? And they might be from a communications background or engagement or whatever, or health or local council, like, oh, do you really want, like, I don't really know much about smart communities. And I said, well, no, you are part of the smart community and I want to hear what you're specifically doing. You don't have to know everything about everything, because I think when we do that, when we try and know everything about everything, we end up with less substance and more motherhood statements and, you know, big things and visions and things, which are all great. But then we need those people underneath that are really going to bring home some of these amazing projects that you would, you know, similar to what you were just talking about. And obviously there's other bits and pieces that are happening around Australia. That's a very long answer, but
No, at all. I think it makes it more real, though, because it makes those types of projects make it more real for people, as opposed to putting in, which is has its place, smart poles, smart lighting, of course, that is important, but it's a small piece of the bigger puzzle, because I think when you have these projects, you can sell a vision more to the people, which ultimately, you know, your stakeholders to push these projects through in your local council. And it translates, I think, more to the hierarchies within cities to be able to think, oh, okay, this is what it's going to do. It's better, more outcomes focused.
And I was just thinking while you were talking about, you know, the from a mental health perspective, you know, I focused on health and well-being 1 month, and I just, you know, I loved having those conversations because it's also people that I wouldn't normally talk to as an engineer or engage with, but it's so important. And when I started having those conversations, you know, there was a lot of synergies there of how I'm thinking and doing things in, you know, in the world or whatever, but then bringing their thoughts to the table in the space and giving them a voice, I suppose, which is part of that marketing thing, which is, you know, why I started the podcast too. You don't have to have, you know, to have a big flashy project or budget or whatever to come on the podcast. We just want to share real stories, which makes it, like you said, makes it real. And yeah. And I guess the realness is really important to me, and it took me a long time to find that kind of importance or
the authenticity, right?
Yeah. But yeah. Cool. Well, that was great. Tell me about some of the projects and things you're working on at the moment. So obviously with PSN, and we've talked a little bit, but over to you.
Yeah, so we've just, as we just mentioned earlier, we just kind of wrapped up the ANZ Annual Smart Community Series about focusing on cities and transport. And we have the first almost final draft of that report. So that we've pulled together with KPMG, going to be released soon. So good old Catherine Tobias has put her hand up again and written a cracking report with a lot of the information that came out. She's awesome, isn't she? She's great. So so we will have that to be able to release soon. So that's really exciting. So we've got, as sort of mentioned, obviously we've got the previous years to benchmark across, and I can give you some snippets actually about some of that soon. About biggest challenge was around funding still. Top smart cities projects were around data platforms. So that's an interesting one as well. And I think, like I said, we'll share that with you soon as well, which is cool. So what I'm actually doing at the moment is, so I'm quite ingrained in the Canada stuff. I'm actually pulling together we just finished the smart mobility series there, but we're also now pulling the second annual smart community series there. And what I really loved, what you were just saying is providing a voice for the small and regional community. So I'm doing my, some of my damnedest to find a lot of those regional and smaller communities across Canada that don't get to often speak. And we're on a similar model to what we do here and going to the various different provinces, but giving people a voice, yeah, finding the case studies that people are doing something different as opposed to, you know, the traditional bigger cities that always generally get to speak. And yeah, kind of working on that currently. So yeah, some really cool stuff that I hadn't come across last year when I pulled it together. So working on that currently, doing invitations, yeah, for Ontario at the moment, and BC and Alberta are pretty much finalized. So yeah, exciting times.
Let's go to, what are the emerging trends that people aren't talking about enough?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not quite emerging, but the topic that maybe I'm interested in, but also slightly concerned about, and I think sometimes doesn't get raised as much, but issues around trust, privacy, data, and sort of cybersecurity, I think it's truly moved towards, I guess, a true sort of smart society. It needs kind of addressing. I mean, if people can't trust what their government is telling them and then trust them with their data, it seems that we've got a huge issue. And it's something that I think currently, you know, the current political climate globally with people sort of trusting government waning, I think it's a big thing that needs to be addressed. I mean, if to even think about moving towards driverless cars, for example, I mean, it's slightly different from a trust perspective. It's more about the data security element. It's something that I think when we look at the survey results from some of our conferences as well, cybersecurity is often bottom of the list, which is pretty crazy for me when we're talking about sort of with our data. I don't know. It's just something that slightly frightens me a little bit, to be honest. I mean, I'm not sure about yourself, what you think about that particular topic.
No, it's something that I've been thinking a lot about. And the more and more I have conversations with people, then I, you know, there's some amazing things that are happening. But then the flip side of that, what are we doing to make sure that, okay, we harness the amazingness, but then we also realize that can come with some detrimental impacts on people's lives. And even small things that might seem small to you and I, but actually could be quite large and life-changing for other people, is really key as well. And I also think even if we make exactly the same decisions, the information, like the real information that we have and, you know, that we are basing our decisions on facts rather than what's, you know, happening in the media or whatever, is a really massive issue that I want to dive very deeply in 2020, that informed citizen, or, you know, whatever we're going to call it. Because I think we can't have smart communities if citizens aren't informed and empowered. And I think, the trust waning with the government is a real issue. And I think that, and then, you know, the power shift between now it's not government, which is supposed to be the public servant, to big tech companies, which has no, doesn't have a obligation to be public, like for the good of the public.
I agree.
So there's these really blurred lines at the moment and continue to be more and more blurred. And I feel like a little bit like the climate crisis, that we need to make some real actions before it gets, well, though, you know, you could argue that it's already quite catastrophic, but before it gets to the Armageddon catastrophic point.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is quite dramatic. But it's, I think it is that big that we should be talking about it a lot more, and that we can't just be taking the voices of those that benefit with, of, you know, us not understanding, I guess.
I agree entirely.
So, yeah, it's a big, I think it's a big topic, big issue. And I've been listening to some podcasts. So Nicole Stevenson, who does.
Oh, yes.
She's awesome. She's been on the podcast. So her Privacy Matters podcast. And it's a really great podcast. Just, you know, she dives quite deeply with these privacy professionals or working in different spaces, specifically focused on smart cities, which is great. So I highly recommend that. We need to continue to inform ourselves and be aware. And then I think what I think a lot about is you and I might then become aware and, you know, understand, but the everyday person who is probably maybe using this stuff more than we are, so social media or technology, you know, applications or whatever, Google, Alexa, those type of things, we need to understand what's happening with our data. And then I also think changing some of those, you know, those conversations and narrative and what actually does happen with our data as well. But we can't do that until we understand and are informed about what's actually going on.
I think the narrative is changing. People are becoming a little bit more savvy. I think the generation, the current generation coming through now, that will see a big shift, I think, into understanding. I think, you know, that as it's quite a known fact, a lot of the younger generation aren't on Facebook and certain other types of social media platforms. To be honest, I don't even know what some of them are. And that's kind of when you realize you've got a bit older, right? And I think the shift is all, you know, what we see in the US and stuff with Facebook. I think it's people will, I guess society is changing slightly, but is it changing fast enough? I don't know.
Yes. Well, it's been so great to chat with you, Charlie. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you once again for inviting me.
And thanks for dealing with my technical issues, my poor computer.
No, that's quite all right.
Some issues. But I just have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
Yeah, very simply, I'm Charlie at publicsectornetwork.co. And if you're interested, check out our website, very simply, publicsectornetwork.co, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Excellent. And I really look forward to having another chat soon. It'll be, we definitely need to catch up in the new year.
Yes.
Either virtually or in person.
Yeah, we'd love to. That sounds great.
Okay. Well, thanks again. And look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Zoe. Have a great day.
Thanks, Charlie. You too. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Smart Community Podcast is brought to you by My Smart Community. If you're looking for support in podcast strategy and production, workshop design and facilitation, or communication and media advisory, get in touch. Email hello@mysmart.community or head to www.mysmart.community.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.